This episode of the Cutting Edge Podcast is brought to you by GlassGadget.com. Showcase Innovations creates tools that help shower door installers be more efficient and save time. Check out GlassGadget.com for more information. Hey, this is Chris Phillips, and I want to thank you for listening to the podcast. You may want to join the Shower Door Professionals group on Facebook. Just go to Facebook and search for Shower Door Pros, and you'll find us. I look forward to seeing you. Hey, everybody, what's going on? This meeting is being live streamed, I am told. Glad that you could join us. It's always fun to hook up with the shower door professionals on a Wednesday evening, afternoon, late night. If you're on the continent of Africa, it is 2 a.m. and you might be popping in here. It can happen. I've seen it happen.
Been done.
Yep. So, hey, thanks for joining us. If you would like to join us here on the call in Zoom, you can do that. Just click on the link that I have posted in the timeline there on Facebook, and it'll pop you right in here. I will see your name pop up on my list, and I will click the button to allow you in. Unless you're someone who I really don't like. I don't think there's anybody that I don't like that much enough to where I wouldn't like not let them in there. You know, I like some of you more than others. I have to admit, you're not like my children, so I do have favorites. Anyway, so glad that you're here and that you joined us tonight. It's going to be fun. Hey, you're in for a treat. We have Greg Abrams of 310 Tempering, president and founder. You know, it seems to me that, like, am I mistaken? Were you not the president of HMI for a while?
I was. I was back from 2009 to 2014, and I served as president.
Oh, I thought so. Yeah, man, that's cool. Well, yeah. Hey, Greg, thanks for joining us. You know, I remember, like, back when I first started my podcast, you're one of the very first people that I got to interview. I reached out to you, and you were willing to come on, and I couldn't get people to come on back in those days, you know, so it was cool. You took a chance on me. You came on the podcast and you did a little interview, and that was back when it was just audio.
I was trying to think how long ago that's been. That had to be 4 or 5 years.
It must have been, you know, something like that. So
well, you know, Chris, us shower door guys don't usually sign a lot of autographs and get asked for a lot of interviews and all. So when you called, I was like, sure, absolutely.
That's awesome. Well, thanks for joining us again. You know, it's like, as you know, you guys, you know, 310 Tempering comes up in our conversation from time to time, you know, and it's like, unlike some of the other companies out there, it's almost always good stuff, you know? You know, there are some companies, they come up and it's like, oh man, you're not really sure what people are going to say, but you know, people love your products and your service, and including me, you know, I'm a big fan. So thanks for coming on, and I just hope that you would just give us a little bit of your background, a little bit of your story, and how you got to be doing what you're doing now, and how it's going for you.
Well, Chris, I appreciate it, and you know, I'm not a big social media guy, but once we did our interview, I started having customers reach out to me and say, man, they've been talking about the Phantom on this shower door professionals, you know, on the Facebook and all. And I'm like, really? Is it good? Oh yeah, everybody seems to like it. And so, you know, my main reason when I reached out to you a couple of weeks ago was just to say thank you for the positive energy around the product. You know, to those of the folks that are watching this, that have purchased the product, thank you. And, if those are interested in trying it out, you know, I'd love to send some your way. But, you know, my story is the fact that, I got a horticulture degree from the University of Kentucky because my father's been a landscaper for 50 years. He owned a landscape company. I got out of school. He told me we were gonna rule the landscaping world here in Louisville, Kentucky together. And we found out we just didn't work well. We fought every day. He's about 6'8", 300 pounds, so I was on the losing end of that. And now, no physical, but still intimidation. And I just decided one day that wasn't the way to live life. And so I got out and I started as a salesman for a company that did store fixtures, and they did metal, wood, and glass for department stores. And the industrial look started becoming more and more popular. So a lot of tread plate wood, not as much glass. And so the owners of the company were like, "Oh, geez, we got to find a way to sell this glass." And they said, "Hey, look, go out and see what you can find." And so I found HMI Cardinal and went over, talked to them, told them what we could do, and we just had to rearrange how we did our lead times. They were used to much quicker lead times than J.C. Penney's was, for instance. So we had to change the way we did things. Great relationship there. The owner and my mentor, Don Ross, he invited me over to be on their sales team. It was an easy transition, and I was there for 10 years. Started off as a salesman and worked my way up and became president of HMI back in 2009. I served that all the way through early 2015, and then unfortunately, Mr. Ross became terminal. He has passed since, and it was time for me to move on and do something different. So myself and my business partner, who was serving as the vice president, Chris Murphy, we came over here and we bought an empty building and we started ordering machinery, and here we are 8.5 years later, and could not be more blessed and grateful for all the folks that have given us a shot. I appreciate the kind words at the beginning. We're not perfect. We do make mistakes, but we try to fix them as quickly as we can. And one of the things that I've learned is we really keep track of our how much we can produce. It's a fairly easy calculation. It's really easy to take on a whole lot, and then people will tell you that, oh, growing pains are a good problem. They're not always good. And so in our world, we try to provide consistent quality as much as we can, and we've done a nice job. We've assembled a great team, and so I'm proud of those guys. I get to kind of sit back and just cheerlead now. They really do all the work. So I've been fortunate in that respect. So, here we are. We came up with the Phantom, and I know that's the product that we get a lot of energy and a lot of talk about. I think it was back in 2017 or maybe 18, and it was about the time when the barn doors were just really starting to catch a lot of popularity. And I had the stationary panel, one rolling panel, and it was a time when we had just gotten the prototypes in for the double rolling panels. And so, as expected, once we got ours in and we hung it up, it was a thick piece of metal. It had to support both panels that were hanging from it. And it's a good looking unit, but I always went back to all the years that I've been in the business now. You would have probably interior decorators telling the glazers out there, the glass shop guys, "I want something that just floats in the air." And I know we've all had that talk with them. It says we have to make sure these are structural. They can't just suspend from midair and have no support or no channel and no clips. And so with that idea, we started thinking about how we could do something that would be a little bit different. Coincidentally, we had just gotten into the laminated business. A good friend of mine named Ken Von Rowan wanted to work on a project that he was doing and said, "Hey, I need a spot to work on it. I need y'all to laminate." I said, "We've never done laminated glass." He said, I'll help you get started, get yourself an oven." And so we did that, and he taught us how to do laminated glass. And so as we did it, like anybody else, when you first got in the glass business, you can't wait to get the piece out so you can break it and beat it and hit it with hammers and see what it's going to do. And we were incredibly impressed with the different strengths of the interlayers that are used. And so we started thinking about how could we mimic this metal header, this barn door, with laminated glass. And so that's kind of how the Phantom was born, and it has just been a really, really fun product to sell. We've shipped them all over the country. We've shipped some out of the country, and it's just been, I guess it would call it our flagship product. It's been really, really fun, and the reason I'm sitting here talking to you guys. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of folks out there that make 3/8 tempered glass, but this Phantom is what kind of put us into the headlines a little bit for at least a little while.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, being someone who's like dabbles likes to dabble in innovating myself, right? I know how like sometimes you come up with the idea for a product and then you prototype it and then you try it and it's like, you know, sometimes it works okay, you know, sometimes it doesn't, right? Sometimes you got to go back to the drawing board, as they say. But like this thing, this Phantom thing is like I imagine has performed better than expected. I mean, there are some products that are like that. It's like, I think this will work. I think this will work. And then you put it up and it's like, oh my God, does this thing work? This thing works better and is more structural. It's actually way more structural than the stainless steel counterpart, right?
Absolutely. And I can remember that day we had told the guys in the shop to cut plasma torch and cut some of these current brackets, wall brackets, to weld them together to make them big enough. And I remember my production manager, he called and said, "You got to get down here." I said, "Everybody okay?" He said, "Oh yeah, everybody's okay." And I remember walking around the corner and we saw the very first one hung up, and I just stopped in my tracks. And I was like, you go up and you start rolling it, and it's just as smooth as what you'd hoped. And that was the start. And then, as you mentioned, we just start saying, "All right, what will this do?" So, you first we probably tested it on a 60 by 72 or 75, and then we're like, "Let's go up to 80. We'll go up to 80. We'll just go up to 84. Go up to 84. Well, let's make it 72 wide." And before I knew it, we had a 100-inch header that was hanging, and we took and put 500 pounds in the center of it. So we're really simulating something that would never happen. And we left it there for 2 weeks, and there was no deflection. And I knew that would be important because, we get a lot of calls for ADA type requirements and all, where, if the door can't give them enough pass-through room, well, all we had to do was, make sure. The one thing we go wider is we add an extra wheel in there to the middle. Each one of our wheels is capable of 50 pounds capacity. And so what I just like to make sure the installers know is, that center wheel is not just decoration. Make sure he's doing a little of the work and that he's taking some of the weight as well. But it has really been something that, and we sell a lot of them for handicap accessible type situations. So yeah, it has been fun, I will tell you.
Yeah, I can imagine that's true. So now, so what do you, I mean, everybody kind of underrates their stuff, right? I mean, you don't want to say it can do whatever the max is that it can actually do, right? You want to back it off a little bit so that people don't hurt themselves or whatever. So what are the specs that you say that this can operate at?
We usually say that once we have three wheels on there, 150 pounds, that's about as much as we want. So depending on whether it's tall or wide, the header has not had any problems. We ended up making, I think we can make a 120-inch one, is as big as it can fit in our laminating oven. And again, we left it hang for a long time just to see if it ever had any deflection, if something ever broke, and we didn't see anything. We beat them up pretty good. So 100 inches is about where we stop. Not too many folks have that. We've done quite a few 80s. That's a very common size to do, and we've tested those all the way from 80 to 80, 84 tall, and
80 by
we've had no
84.
problem. And
Wow.
it's really, we tried it with two wheels, and it worked really well. We probably put it through, gosh, over a couple thousand cycles. And the wheels, the plastic inserts that touch the glass, you can see where when they hit the little break we have, it starts chipping away at it. And they never came apart. They just started kind of like it had a flat tire clicking down there. So once we put the three wheels on and we adjust them to where we were all three taking, at least some amount of the weight, we did not have any issues with that.
Love it. Love it. Well, I'm sure that some guys have some questions for you, Greg. Who wants to go first? I will. Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Greg, I love the product. We probably, I don't know how many we've done. I would say 18, 20 or so. I've got two on order now. We're waiting on delivery. So, and I've tested them pretty good because we did one. Now I can't remember how wide. I want to say about 78 inches wide, I believe, maybe. And it was pretty tall. So, and I've got two more big ones coming too. So, love the product. We have one in the showroom. The only thing that they just glide so nicely, but those little clear stops, boy, if you let them go and they hit that, it's just like it's too hard. Do you guys have any kind of plan to do anything different with stops at all? I mean,
Let
just
me ask you,
question.
Brad, when you install it, are the acrylic stops all the way against the back of the wall mount bracket?
I
Because
believe
that's
they
been,
are. Yeah, I believe
because
so.
that, yeah, that is where we've had some folks that didn't understand that, the little cap on the wall mount bracket comes off. That acrylic piece needs to be against the back wall. So when the wheels are hitting it, the pressure is, it's not, it's just not the tape holding it. It's literally the impact goes all the way through, and so the acrylic is in the back of the bracket. So
Okay.
I got one right here for you. So if this is your bracket, when this sits on the header, it should be touching the back of the bracket. And we've had people that will move them and they didn't realize that, trying to maybe adjust how the door is closed, how much. But that's why we sent both. We sent a 7-inch and a 2.5, so that you can choose, how much you want the door. But they always need to be in the very back, touching the back of that wall bracket, so that when the wheel hits it, it can't really move. And then,
Yeah, it, I don't know if it's moving so much. It's just that it you know how the door hits that it's an instant stop and it makes kind of a noise. You know what I mean? And but I mean, I love the product. I mean, we're selling the heck out of it. We got it in the showroom with the glass towel bar, which that's something everyone needs to know that you guys carry. And it seems like it's a reasonable price.
And one of the things we've kicked around, it wasn't so much for the double bypass, but we're starting to really get folks that are putting them on to two other stationary panels and using them as wine rooms and all. And the bracket that is on the I'm not sure if the Cambridge has it or not, but we have a bracket on our metal bar that slides up and down that has a bumper on it, and it has a set screw in the bottom. And we've
Yeah.
talked about creating one of those. It'll have to be out of metal, but it would slide on that glass rail, and then we'd have cushions, sort of like tightening down an SOGC 90, to where hopefully that would. Now, we've not tested that, but we have had some folks ask about that, and that could accommodate one of the issue that you're talking about. We've been kicking that around as well.
Sure. One other quick comment. We don't always like to use sweeps on underneath the glass doors. And your guide is only suitable for with use with the sweep because it's pretty wide. So the doors kind of rattle if you don't. And I just wanted to point that out to everybody so they're aware of it. You almost have to put those sweeps in there unless you guys are coming up with a different guide block.
Well, we do have, and we discussed putting them both in there, but sometimes when you put too much in, it confuses folks. Brad, next time you order, just tell the guys that we have the black inserts that go in. We have those for the glass without the bottom sweep.
Okay.
Cool,
Awesome.
just ask for it.
That's probably something that we need to advertise more.
Yeah.
We just get so used to everybody putting bottom sweeps on everything. Now, verticals, sometimes folks use those, sometimes they don't. But that's something I'll get that out so that you guys can see it. But we do
Okay.
have those little blocks. You just remove them and put the other one in, and it just makes the gap smaller so that it's a tighter slide.
Well, it's really great to talk to you, Greg. It's an honor.
Hey, thank you for your business. We really appreciate it.
And that's
Thanks,
the
Greg.
great thing about this forum is like, hey, there, okay, there's a question, get it answered. That's the exact point
Hey,
doing it. So that's awesome. Who else?
Greg, this is Bill from Florida. How you doing?
Hey, Bill Dobman, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I haven't seen you in a while. You doing okay down there?
I did. You were the last guy to go through our factory before COVID. You were
You
there
know,
on
I hope you don't blame it
March
on
10th.
me.
Well, I'm not saying it was, but I'm not saying it wasn't.
So I'm not invited back anytime soon, is what you're telling me.
Hey, do you have third party certification for the weights?
I do not.
You don't. Okay,
I
so
do
have
not.
you got it specified in any architectural suites?
I have not had that either, no.
Okay.
Would be
Well,
interested. You know, I used to use a company down in Texas to do a lot of those different things when we needed engineers behind it, but we've not done this one.
have you tested it using half-inch glass for sliders instead of 3/8, adapting the hardware for where the rollers go onto the doors?
I've been asked about that, but the length of the studs on the wheels, they you only get
Right.
barely a crank. And then, you know, we just don't we did not bring in the brackets for the center guide, so we've not done half inch. Is there a decent demand for half inch?
Hasn't been, we do a lot of half inch.
Okay.
There's very few half inch sliding doors. We do a lot of them in the pivots. We did the, I'm trying to think of the name of the CR Lawrence, which was no header bottom roller.
Oh yeah, what was
Essence,
that?
you're probably talking about.
Yes. And we did that in half inch and it was successful. I think your product would be good with that because it'll hold the weight. The other thing I want you to clarify is when you're talking about the weight, are you talking about per panel
Yes.
or total weight with two doors?
So really what I was talking about is per panel. So
Yeah.
the wheels are rated, they're rated a little bit more than 50 pounds, but that's what that I stop it at 50, so we're all safe. It's yeah, if you've got a 100-pound door, then it can use two wheels, and then as they get bigger, calculate the weight, and then we add in the wheels. We're usually, like you've mentioned, we're usually a little bit more safe than sorry. You know, ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. So if we get close, we'll usually say, hey, let's put a third wheel on there and let it go. But that it was per panel is what we were looking at.
Yeah, so just doing some quick calculations. If I used half inch glass going at 7 pounds a square foot as
Okay.
opposed to the 6 point,
Six
whatever it
point nine.
is.
Right.
But if I use 7 and it was a 30 inch wide door, 84, so 7 feet high, I'm talking about 122 and a half pounds
Yeah, we
per.
would definitely want three wheels on that.
So you put 3 wheels, but the header again, no flex. So the biggest concern is how the brackets are affixed to the wall so that the whole structure is stable, not pulling out of the wall.
And you know, the funny thing is, and I've threatened to take them out, but I've had people complain. I'm not an installer. I've probably installed 20 units in my entire life. But you know, a lot of these, they'll come with these anchors, and I'm like, why do we put the anchors in there? If you're not hitting something solid, it's not the best. But some of these installers, they use them for different things, and we left them in there. It just like you buy hinges from some of these bigger companies, they'll have anchors in there. But I always suggest, and in our instructions, is that we're hitting 2x4s with the screws.
Yeah. You've done so well with the product, kudos to you.
Thank you.
And I will say to most of the guys, if you're using it, use low iron glass to really offset it. Don't do 3/8 generic
Absolutely.
clear. If you're not using low iron, you're really losing the whole effect of the clarity.
Yeah, it looks fantastic.
It
And
does.
Bill, I see a lot of them headed down to you, and I thank you for that. And every time it's 25 degrees up here and I see that your sticker on there, I just want to hop in that box and take a ride with it.
You're welcome anytime, Greg.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, we should work together though if you want to get that into a suites catalog because I think there's a lot of hotel jobs that's right up the alley. You could do it.
No, I'd be thrilled.
Get
We've
it
done
specified.
several. Yeah, we've done several hotel projects, but it's usually the glass shops that are making that connection.
Yeah.
I dipped my toe in the architect arena back when I was at HMI, and I found myself doing a lot of lunch and learns, and it was like, okay, I think I'm gonna stick with some of these glass shops, but I'd love to. I think it would be. I know the ones that have gone in, the hotels have not had any complaints. Everybody seemed happy with it, so we could talk on that offline if you want. That'd be great.
Yeah, I'd love to.
Yeah, me too.
I think your product is worthy of it, and it would be good for everybody on this group. I mean, we're always talking about sharing leads and helping each other grow. And God, you land a hotel in Chattanooga, Tennessee, all of a sudden, you know, Brian's just loaded with work.
Right, right.
Awesome.
Any other products on the horizon with laminated glass? Or are you going to play with switch light inside the laminated so you can make it change color?
Yeah. You know, I haven't kept up with that. I got asked for that so many times years and years ago. And when we would talk to the manufacturers, they would just be like, well, you know, it's electric in the shower. It's I've not looked. I know there's some new stuff out there. We've got a couple products that we're kicking around. They're still in the prototype phase. That is going to be in relation to the laminated glass, but nothing that I can speak of right now, you know.
Those 42s? What are you using?
You don't say. Huh.
What happened there?
Yeah, right. Huh, I'm not sure. Muted. question? Come on.
So, Greg, I got a couple questions. First of all, I'm Brian. I'm from up in New Jersey. I'm Freedom Glass and Mirror. Great product. I've tried to sell a couple of them myself. I've yet to sell one or install it. But I keep pushing for it, 'cause I just think it's one of the sexiest looking things out there, really. So two questions related to finish and color. My first question is, what finish, hardware is available in the kit?
Okay. So we've got the polished chrome, the brushed nickel. We've got old rub bronze and matte black. They're very similar. The old rub bronze is more like CRLs. It's at dark. And then, of course, matte black has just got a little bit more of a matte finish, but they're very similar. And then against what I wanted to do, because I remember the gold days back in, you know, brought in satin. We've got satin brass now. So we do have satin brass as well.
All right. It's making a strong comeback. It's making a comeback. I don't know how
long I know.
It's
My wife tells me about it all the time.
Oh, it's coming in strong. My Is other it? Question was, so like I've seen, and another product I've tried to push and also have yet to sell, is a gray shower door, gray glass. Okay. Is that something that you're able to produce? Are you able to make the header in a tinted glass, or is it strictly just the low iron clear?
So I did not bring in any gray or smoke glass when we got started at 310. You know, when I was at HMI, we had all kinds of different patterns. I mean, we really, when Coastal went out, one of our goals over there was to have all these master Coray and smoke and bronze and Azuria and all these colors. And they sat a whole lot over there. And so we never brought it in. If there was demand for it, I could bring in, you know, a couple stoses of that gray and to my knowledge, I've not done it, but to my knowledge, it should laminate easily. Sometimes the header can stay clear. We've done obviously the clear header and then use different patterns with it. And, you know, sometimes you don't have to do the header unless the customer would just want it. We did a rain header one time and I didn't like it because the wheels didn't roll on it. We told the customer, said, no, we want it. I never heard back. I wouldn't market it. It's not in any of my brochures, but, It worked. It looked like it had bubbles in the middle, but the person loved it. I'm not sure. But if you had demand for that, we could definitely try.
And what is the makeup of the header? What's the are you three pieces of 3/8? Or what's the makeup of the header?
Yeah, it's three pieces of tempered low iron 3/8, and then we've got the two pieces of SGP interlayer.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah, all the headers come low iron. We don't. That's not an option to do just a regular clear because, as you know, when you stack those, it turns green quick.
Yeah, so, sure. Especially three back to back like that. Yeah.
Right. So the header is always out of low iron. And then customers have their choice whether they want the low iron or clear. Or they could do satin etch, different things. But I have to agree with Bill down in Florida that low iron is the way to go for the whole thing. It's just, it disappears. It's sharp.
Yeah, I wouldn't even consider doing it any other way. And Brian, you can do certain glass, but you know, a lot of these hotels, we were talking about that, are starting to specify reeded glass. And I'm telling you, stay away from it because you're doing sliders. And then when you start doing your adjusting, if your lines are not vertical,
no,
and rarely are they going to be, it looks awful.
It and just when you looks move awful. Them, when yeah. you move them, you get a headache pretty quick.
You get dizzy. Really.
Yeah, I'm working on a quote for a shower. It's actually a shower split water closet. She's looking for all reeded glass with the center divider and all reeded. And I'm like, you know, we can do it, but you know, I don't know if you're gonna, you know, it's one of those things you're gonna have to love it forever rather than just like it for now, you know, because it's up and it's staying, you know, it's big time. So you know,
Brian, couple of options. We use a local tint guy that has tint that looks like reeded glass that they apply to the clear
like
glass.
Like a film.
Yep. And it's really good. And you can take it off when you're tired of it so that they still have clear glass. Also, years ago, and I don't know, Greg, if you even do that, we were laminating two pieces of glass with rice paper in the middle. Like for an oriental spa, and it was really cool. There were room dividers, but they were laminated, and we used one in a steam shower. And you know, I'm always worried about lamination in a steam shower with it delaminating. I did it when I was still in Massachusetts, and when I left, and I was 7 years in there, and I never had a problem with it. So it was it was tempered laminated, and we put rice paper in between it, and it looked amazing, and they didn't have to worry about it chipping or peeling because it was in between the glass.
Sounds cool.
One of the other options, Brian, too, is you can get to make it, whether we make it or Greg makes it, three pieces a quarter inch, and then you break the inner layer and it gives you a cracked effect. So it's smooth on your two outer surfaces, and your inner surfaces, you know, once it's tempered and you hit it with an ice pick, and it immediately breaks inside and it gives you a really cool effect.
Yeah.
So maybe that customer's looking for something different and she saw a piece of reeded either in a picture or another glass shop, you'd blow her away if you can show some of the other options you could do.
Yeah,
that's a good point. Yeah,
hey, I have a question about that, Bill, with what you're talking about, the broken inner light.
Yeah.
Does the glass tend to warp when you do that, or does it stay straight?
I haven't had any of them warp.
Wow, that's interesting. Because that's
done it.
That's the thing I would think of. Well, we create that weakness in the middle of it, would start to bow or something. But
we've been doing them for people for patio tables where they had the old Aquatex, and it just, you know, and you go to wash it, and it's just miserable. So they'd like a smooth surface to clean, but don't want to look through clear glass down at their feet. So they wanted either frosted glass or that cracked glass. And then people that are clever and they have these little LED lights that they stick on your umbrella, and it really gives a neat effect on the glass.
Yeah. Love it. That's awesome. It's
good stuff. You do that in wine closets also.
Fantastic.
I think it's just trying to get yourself something different than every other glass shop has. You know, the Phantom, I mean, the guys on this group are way ahead of most glass shops because they're not even... Every time someone posts it, I always see four or five guys. What is that? Where do you get it? So that's telling me they haven't even been exposed to it yet.
Yeah, which is amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's such a small industry, really. I mean, it's like you'd think everybody would know. But we get into our bubbles. You know, we find like what's working, and then like we do that.
I'm usually sitting.
Well, you know what I find out, Chris, is you get these big guys. But these companies, we have one here that they do builder work and they're doing closet shelving and mirrors and gutters and insulation and shower doors. Well, as soon as they lay off the guys that were doing the shower doors, the guys figure they're going to go into business for themselves. But they don't have any vendors, any suppliers. You know, all those jobs were given to them. Sure, they know how to install, but
David Gitron.
They have no business acumen and they don't have a book of vendors. Mm-hmm. So they're asking, you know, basically us for guidance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Greg, you get those calls all the time where people want to buy from you?
We do. We'll get calls and you know, we want to make sure that they've got a business license and that they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. I learned back when we went through the recession in 08, 9, and 10 that, you know, I know some companies say that, you know, people have to have a storefront and all, but I got some really great customers that just, they didn't run their business from walk-in traffic. And so they started running it from a residential place. And they're some of my some of my favorite customers. So we don't require them to have a commercial brick and mortar, but they've got to have business license and all these things. But you know, so far so good. We've had luck with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I know. I remember when I started, it's like I didn't have a storefront, and it's like some suppliers would sell to me and some wouldn't. I mean, many wouldn't, you know. So those ones that were willing to sell to me when I started, I mean, those, I still do business with some of those guys. It meant a lot to me that they were willing to take a chance on me, you know. And so, yeah, I can see the argument for both sides.
Chris, that's exactly what I'm talking about. That's your business acumen, though, right? You mm-hmm. stayed very loyal to the guys that helped you get started.
Oh, yeah.
Some of these newer guys that work for somebody and decide to go into business for themselves, they don't have that same mentality. They'll buy who's ever cheaper, whoever can get it quick, but it's not a long-term relationship. And I know we do, and I know Craig does, because I just know the way he runs his business. Loyalty means a lot. It means a lot. And having a track history of people that pay their bills mean a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And once again, you know, it's a small community.
It is.
So it's like, you know, you need to live here, you need to eat here. You know, it's like, you don't want to crap here. That's for sure.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a small community. Really, all things considered.
Greg, what kind of questions do you have for the guys on this call? Anything that you would want to get information from anybody here?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, I was jotting a couple notes down just, you know, from Brad and folks asking, you know, Bill, yourself, just anything that if people have ideas of ways we can improve the product, if they have ideas on, you know, maybe some different types of configurations. You know, we offer a 90 degree return, but you know, my goal, you know, really, Bill, my goal is to come on here and just thank everybody. It's very humbling to have folks that a lot of folks I've not met, I've never shook their hand, and they're talking, you know, positive energy around our company. And so I just wanted to hop on here and say thank you. And, you know, how can I help you? How can I help you guys continue to sell products and install products? And if you have any ideas, we pride ourselves. I wouldn't say that we're all engineers here, but we pride ourselves in being able to come up with some fun stuff and take a few chances. And we bought a 3D printer. That is fun. If you don't have one of those, let me tell you.
You know, I got a few of them.
Oh man, we've been. You know, it does make it a lot easier because you can come up with something. And you know, before we would have to weld something up. And I've got some great welders, and they'll weld and get things together. And then when you think it's right, you know, you send it off to a company that can manufacture it, but they're going to charge you a die fee, and they're going to charge you, you know, a minimum quantity. And if you miss, well, you've got a bunch of, you know, you've got a bunch of recycling there. So, but I think that would be the only question I would have is there anything folks would like us to try? You know, Bill, I wrote down your half inch question. You know, I'm going to go back and look at that bracket that Brad was mentioning, see if that's something, but, that's really the question. I'm just glad to be
here. You know, something that you could help us with, we brought in a whole, about a half container for a hotel job of a company called Coastal. And it's their double bypass. But the header sags. You put two pieces of 3/8 and you go 5 feet and there was deflection. And I'd like to be able to replace it with glass, but their brackets won't fit because it was a thin metal in an H shape, but it was much thinner than the three layers of 3/8. Wondering if there was something that might still hold a little as wide a glass, but not as heavy, that we can modify so I can use up that hardware. I mean, I've got a lot of hardware.
Does it have the same type of wall brackets?
Yes, but not as wide. So it doesn't handle the thickness. Yeah.
So, you know, let's definitely talk about it. You know, I immediately comes to mind that, you know, do the wheels fit the 3/8 track?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I wonder how thin we can make that center piece and not have the wheels hit.
Right.
Or can we make 3/16 between there?
Or can we put an adapter inside the existing wall thing, almost like a coupler, so it sits inside of it, we connect it together, and then the rest of it that comes out will accept your wider thing. So all I would need to do is I can use the rollers that I have in the hardware and just replace the metal header with glass.
Can you know, hey, send, drop some of the pieces of hardware.
I will.
You know, a KD in the mail and let us mess with it.
Yeah, I'll send a video with it. And okay. Maybe I'll have our 3D printer guy send up a inspirational piece to look at.
All right,
at a starting point, and we go from there.
Okay, that sounds great.
All right, cool.
It's happening right here live on Shard Door Professionals. You know, right never here. Know.
There you go. Matt.
Never know.
A year from now, I might be going, oh, remember when they were talking about that?
Yeah, hey, that's how it happens.
Another question. I know you offer the glass towel bar for the doors. Do you offer a glass handle as well if someone didn't want the towel bars, if they wanted a handle?
I have not. We thought about that. We tried to find a acrylic handle. I didn't know even where to look for a glass handle, but we found acrylic ones, but when we test them, they eventually turn yellow.
Mm-hmm.
And sure. I tried to find the same company I get those acrylic strips from because we tested those and they didn't. But I might not have looked as hard. I've got a lot of folks that will just put a hole in the glass. Mm-hmm. They don't even want a handle. They'll make a smaller hole. Probably I would say it was 5/8 or 7/8 for them to put their fingers in. And then we are developing a new handle. It's similar to the same one it has, but it's exact same diameter as the wheels. So it kind of blends in better with the wheels.
Oh, okay.
But it is still out of stainless though.
Okay. I used the towel bar, the glass towel bar. I just made a vertical of a handle.
Yep, I've done a few of those. Yep.
Yeah, I did one like that and turned out great. By the way, Brandon is awesome. Tell him you got a nice sales. My sales rep is awesome.
Oh, good. I love Brandon too.
I got a good relationship with him.
I'll make sure I tell him. Thank you.
Portals has a glass ladder pull, I believe. So that might be something you could look at. And I have a question. How much weight can you put on a return panel? So if you use a Phantom and you have a pretty heavy Phantom slider and you're going into a return panel, you know, more than likely half inch glass is what mm-hmm. would make sense. How much weight can you put on that?
I'll be honest. We haven't tested it. I know we did a big one in the presidential suite of the JW Marriott was one that I believe was 80, 78 or 80 wide. And it we hooked it in and we've, you know, it's difficult sometimes for us to test because we'll hang stuff up and let it sit there. We ram it. We rigged up this little thing with a pulley that moves the doors back and forth. And I got to be honest, I haven't tested that one, but a lot of times we'll tell the folks, you know, with the half inch glass, if they can run it to the ceiling, that always gives me a little bit more stability. And so I know there's been times when we'll look at, they'll send it in and we'll literally go through the whole thing and say, all right, what do we need to do? Can you put it here? Can you do that? We did a couple big wine cellars. And, you know, we just said, hey, look, let's make sure we have some kind of blocking in the ceiling. And luckily, they'll get a hold of us. The homeowner or the builder will get a hold of the glass shops before they get too far along so that we can put blocking in and all that. And so I don't have a great answer for you on that, Brad, but we've done some pretty good size ones and I haven't heard anything back.
Okay. And of course, Bill, you might be able to also comment, but if you got a lot of weight on those holes where the bracket's mounted to, is there any risk there if it's a heavy load?
Of course, there's risk everywhere, right? You don't know what's behind the wall where you're mounting that to.
For the return panel where the holes are for in the glass and if you have a real heavy unit. Mm-hmm.
No, the glass is pretty strong. You got to worry about the screws, the fasteners themselves, the shear strength of it snapping.
Yeah.
That's the thing you got to worry about.
Brad, if it helps you at all, I have a 70 inch in my house with like a 48 inch return with half inch glass, and it's been hanging there for 3 years, and I've never even had to adjust it, nor have I ever even taken a second look at it. So I mean, if that kind of helps, I literally have it 10 feet from here.
How tall is your unit?
That's like 84. Everything I did was big in this house.
That's
so
pretty it's good size. Yeah, it's pretty
big. Everything. Yeah, it's definitely big. I have two in my house. One's an inline, one's a return. I just ordered one. They both have the glass towel bars, which looks super sharp. And I just ordered a kit for my showroom because I'd like to start ordering. I'd like to start showcasing it to the customers also, because it's one of those products that pitches are great. But the wow factor is when they walk in and it's, you know what I mean? And it's right in front of them. It's a whole different kind of experience. So we're looking to expand that.
Yeah.
But to answer your question, I have absolutely no issue, and I don't even give it a second thought. We hung it. It's been there for 3 years. Never looked back at it. And we did do half inch on the return and 3/8 on the sliding panels.
Sure. Yeah.
Greg, one of the things that we started playing with is alternating your hardware, where we've got some black brackets and we mix chrome in the wheels.
Okay.
And you remember how Moen used to do the chrome and gold fixtures years ago?
Yeah.
And then we had the gold escutcheon rings or the brass escutcheon rings. Well, we're doing the same thing with black and chrome, and it looks sharp and people love it.
So you're the reason why I have half kits sitting everywhere.
Yeah. And call me, because I got a lot of half kits also.
We can make we can combine them.
Yes, exactly. Nice. Hey, you put it in the showroom, there's people that just want something different.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true.
Hey, I've got a question.
What components are you doing black, and what components are you doing chrome?
The wheels. You put black brackets, and you can even play with the arms that hold the glass in black and just change out the center wheel itself to chrome.
That sounds good.
It just looks different. I've got a couple of them in the showroom, and we've probably sold 10 like that.
Wow.
Yeah, Christina has a question. She's asking if we've already discussed gold hardware from Phantom. And the answer is yes. Reluctantly, Greg has given in to the satin brass craze. Actually, you know, the satin brass doesn't bother me nearly as much as like the old gold stuff. I mean, it's kind of it's almost like a little buffer, you know, to the gold.
I'm just something bad. Chris, I'm just being hard-headed, because when I was in the last place, we had gold, and we ended up putting in our own powder coat facility to paint it over so we could get rid of it, because it was just sitting there. And so I just had these nightmares. And so all of a sudden I walk in my kitchen and I see this big barn style satin brass light. And I'm like, oh no, it's coming back. So finally we ordered it. I said, all right, we order and we sell them, and they look great. They do. But you know,
welcome.
Yeah. Handrail out of it, especially with bent glass. So if you're doing a staircase with bent glass, and if the code says it must have a top rail, in case of black, use your product as the top rail, whether it sits flat or the other way and attach with standoffs.
Do you do bent glass, Bill?
We don't make it. We ordered it out, but we've done many installs with it. Yeah.
Yeah. We don't do bent glass here. That was an idea a while back that we had talked about, making that pocket bigger to slide over. We didn't have a great way to attach it. The holes would have to be so close to the edge and to put the screws through. And so once the shower door part of it took off, you know, we were just busy trying to keep that going. But and that would be one we would, you know, whenever we get into railings, I've not provided any hardware, but we would definitely be sending stuff down to Dallas Test Labs or something to get all the specifications for that. But I think it can be done. I think we just have to engineer a really good way to make sure it attached, but not lose that clear look that everybody wants. That's always been the question earlier about the glass handle. It's like, we looked and looked and we're like, well, we want to make sure we get the product out. And I think that it's worth a second to go around, but you know, every time we start putting stuff on it, a lot of times it's metal and, mm-hmm. we start losing what we were trying to go after. But you know, I'll tell you, this has got me, this has got my wheels turning right now.
That's what these calls do.
I'll tell you what.
It's well, a good group. Bill, it's a good group.
Yeah. It is a great group.
Bill touched on an idea that I've kind of thought about. So you're talking about handrails, and I've thought about shower closures with a glass header. I mean, or a situation where you're trying to span something and support a panel or whatever it is, if you could have a laminated piece like your Phantom, mm-hmm. except make it so you have like two pieces with only one piece, so it's flush on top, if you will, and right. not so tall, but it could cup over glass panels like a header does, you know. But then so how do you do your corners and that sort of thing? Right. That would be, you know, the challenge.
So we've got something in the works that is along those lines right now. It's not completely finished yet, but we are working on something. The one thing we couldn't figure out, and you know, a lot of times the way that these doors get installed is regional. You know, in our area, this Midwest, a lot of folks, if they're going to have a header, they use a pivot hinge. So I haven't, you know, besides the pivots that mount to the wall, a true, you know, we sell a lot of the adjustable pivots that slide up and down. I haven't figured a way for those to in, you know, coexist with the glass header. But if folks are trying to just, you know, do 180 glass to glasses from the panel, we've got something right now in the works that will be a glass header to support that panel and will hold that door. We're hoping to have that out by springtime. So.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, Brian.
But I don't have an answer for the pivot hinge yet, though.
Yeah, Brian, what you'd have to worry about there is the thickness of that. So you'd want that to fit over, right? Almost encapsulate over. So you take the H upside down and slide it, and that's going to lock in your return panel and your fixed panel, and then you're going to have your door swing underneath it, correct? Is that the way you're envisioning it?
Yeah. And then how do you glue it in? I mean, because you don't want to see the glue, whatever the glue is it UV? Probably don't want to do that.
We're looking at attaching it to the panel. We're looking to have the panel come up to the equal height of the header and attaching it to it. So the panel would be much taller than the door. The only thing we're doing is right now we're testing, you know, the deflection up and down, that's been tested and we're happy with that. The deflection going, you know, front to back, if you're swinging a large door, that's where we're working on that, because it obviously you don't have as much tensile strength going that direction, especially if we go real wide. So we're working on how that all goes together.
Yeah, the question that I wanted to ask you was about single barn doors. Do you have a solution for that to attach a fixed panel to a Phantom header so they can have a single slider?
Stay tuned, Chris.
Very soon. I have the best questions.
Very soon. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I'll be watching. Yep.
So following up on that, and this discussion came up last week, there's somebody on Facebook, and I think it's an Oriental company, making a single sliding door that would slide, and the bar is then returning at a 90 degree. So that door goes and sits inside the shower against one of the walls. So if you were to do it, you would then have to take your header and bend it and make a, not a 90, but a nice radius that ends up being 90. So the wheel would follow along that track and stack the door against the wall. So that gives you a slider in a handicapped situation that you're looking for to give them that clearance. So they could have a 40 inch opening, still put a single sliding door on it, and it would track and stack along the sidewall if your header allowed it, if the wheels could stay in the track all the way and making that bend. But that's something else you could look at.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, I don't have any experience with curved or bent glass. Not that we couldn't give it a stab, but as you know, it gets the components start to get a little bit different. So,
they do.
But I am thinking, what if you had, some way to have a header where the wheels rotated as the panel spun?
That's back. Correct. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah, and that wasn't curved glass though, right? Or even a curved header. No. Yeah, it was all It was all straight. They just worked it out where it went around the corner.
Well, I believe the header was curved, Brian. That track on top of that door had to stay on it. Somebody no, put it.
It's yeah, straight. I don't think so.
It goes was straight. It?
Yeah. Yeah. I think the wheels, the rollers pivoted.
Yep. Exactly.
What was the name of that company? As,
yeah, I looked it up last time. Came around.
I'll bet you Gomez will have it up here in a second. He'll find it from 2 weeks ago.
Right. We're sure, I don't remember the
talking
name.
About it.
Rob is just posting Greg's contact info into the chat. So if you guys don't have it, you should definitely grab that. You know, as we're talking, I'm looking in the background there and Greg's office, and I see a guitar on the wall. I don't know if I believe he plays the guitar, but
no.
I see some boxing memorabilia over there to the left. So I'm thinking that he's definitely a boxing fan. Looks like
about the car
back there. And
I can tell you the boxing gloves was to deal with a couple of his customers that he had to deal with.
And then, of course, there's a lot of booze back there.
Hey, you know, we're in Kentucky now, Chris. So real quick, I'm a Buffett fan. I was lucky enough to get a signed guitar by Jimmy Buffett literally 4 or 5 months before he passed. And then the gloves are a fun story. So I was back at HMI Cardinal, and we had a lot of folks working there. And we had one of the fellas came up, and we were busy. And he said, hey, my uncle would love to tour the facility. And I said, his name was Corey. I said, Corey, we're kind of busy. We don't have time. He goes, do you know who my uncle is? I said, who? He said, Muhammad Ali. And I was like, well, by all means, and this is in the later stages of his life, but we had two ramps literally in the both in the back of the building, but we were able to move stuff out of the way so he could drive his SUV up into the building and look at all the machines. And he was kind enough to take pictures with, I mean, we probably had 200 people in that building, and signed stuff for everybody. And so I ended up getting those gloves, and he signed them for me.
Wow.
And so that's what that is. But yeah, when your uncle's Muhammad Ali, you come right in. No, no questions asked.
No doubt.
Hey, Greg, can I get a question out before?
Sure.
It was a question about how you guys stock the stuff. Do you guys stock it as like every inch, every 2 inches? The Phantom kits?
Yes, every half inch. So the headers are stocked in every half inch.
Okay. And you keep a pretty good stock of?
Of the high runners. So, you know, 40, 47, 47 and a half, 48, 57, 57 and a half, 58 are our highest runners. So we'll probably have, you know, 50 to 80 of each one of those sizes at any time.
Okay. Yeah. Cause I've always noticed they always ship quick, and I just didn't know if I got lucky or whatever, but.
Yeah, we try to have, you know, at least even if it's just five or six of them, 53s, 54s, 55, some of the sizes. Once we get over 63, that's when, you know, first of all, they're a little bit difficult sometimes to store and keep them straight. Yeah. So anything over that we'll make custom, but we can usually do them in a couple of days. If getting out of our Westminster, Maryland branch, we're only making the headers in Kentucky. So we have a transfer truck once a week that we'll ship back and forth. So if you're up in the Baltimore, you know, Pennsylvania, Delaware, Virginia area, it could be a little bit longer, but we're getting those out pretty quick.
Generally speaking, it takes us 10 days to get tempered anyway. So 9 times out of 10, it's either the kit is showing up before or when the glass is coming in anyway. So it always seems to kind of work out pretty well.
Well, good. We try to keep them in stock so that when you guys order them, we try to ship them either same day or next day.
Yeah, and Greg, if you ever need to make headers longer than the 10-foot capacity you have, let me know, because we could work together on that.
Okay.
Or if you got a lot going to Florida and you don't want to ship it, you know, again, you want to sub out some of that, maybe we could work with you.
Bill, most of them are going to you, buddy.
And what's your deduction off your overall width? What do you deduct for a header width? Half an inch?
So, yeah. So what we'll do is we take off our perfect deduction. Optimum is 3/4 off the width. And so that 3/4 will give us just room for you to move both directions. The minimum we take off is a half. The maximum we'll do is 1 inch, and that leaves you some bite. I just never wanted anybody to be able to push it either way and pull it out of there. Sure. And when I say out, I'm talking about to where it's, I don't even want it to where it's only getting one bite with these little set screws. I want both sets of set screws to be hitting them.
Okay.
Awesome. So for instance, you know, if you had, if you had a 58 and 5/8, it would optimally call for a 57 and 7/8, but we could use a 58 on there. No problem.
Okay.
Okay.
No, good to know. You've got some experience with it. I know that.
Well, if you guys have any of those questions, we've got sheets that we can send to folks that kind of have those, we call it cheat sheets, but cheat sheets, deductions, all that. And we should be sending those, especially for the KD customers, we should be sending those along with every KD so they know how to order their glass.
Do you guys have any specials this month, like free shipping?
Yeah, actually there is free shipping. Brandon didn't tell you that?
I ordered one today. Yeah, you told me about it.
Yeah, free shipping in the continental U.S. I got a couple of Hawaii guys. I was like, I don't know about that one. But
yeah, you told me about that today. I'm like, all right, I got free shipping. All right. Extra money in my pocket.
There you go. Nice. You heard it here first.
Yeah.
Well, hey, Greg, thanks so much, man, for coming on. You know, as you know, it's like a few weeks back we were chatting and you guys came up and everybody was just singing your praises. And then I guess Greg's phone started blowing up and people are like, hey, man, they're talking about you, you know, in the Shower Door Questions group right now, you know. And so Greg reached out to me and just to say thanks, you know, for the nice things that we're saying. I mean, you know, we're just telling the truth. And he sent me this nice gift.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Man. Oh. This is some fancy whiskey. Some of that Maker's Mark.
Yep, the Private Select.
I'm going to save this bottle for our first Shower Door Pros get-together. Whenever we do that, I'm not sure when that's going to happen, but we're going to do that one of these days, and I'm going to have this. I'm going to break this out and give everybody shots.
Love it.
You let me know where that's at, and I'll bring some more with me.
Okay. You got a deal, man.
Chris, I want to say real quick, thank you so much again for having us on. And the other thing is, if there's anything that we can do better, I appreciate all the positive, but if something is not working right, if they see it, that's how we get better. You know, I always appreciate folks giving us, you know, positive energy and positive feedback. But, you know, if something doesn't look right, something's not working right, please let us know, because then, you know, we take those very seriously. That's how we get better. So thank you.
Well, careful what you ask for. These guys can be brutal.
Hey, you know.
All right, everybody. Hey, thanks for showing up, man. We'll see you next
time. Yeah, thanks for showing up. Right.
Thanks, Greg. Appreciate it, man.
Hey, good thank night, you, everybody. Guys.
All right, Greg. Good to see you.